It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Oh, prelim final action just about to get underway. Four teams remaining. The People's Grand Final, as they call it, just about to kick off over the weekend. And on Saturday night, well, the one that we're really focusing on, it's the Lions versus Geelong at the Gabba, 6:30pm kickoff up here in Queensland. For the rest of the East, that'll be 7:30pm. So not too bad without daylight savings, boys. We can actually go out after the game too, which is just fantastic. My name's Nick Davis. A big welcome to the show. We've got a big lineup coming up as well. We'll address our slightly beleaguered State of Origin team a little bit later. Liam Flanagan from Giant Swantown will join us. And plus, to give a look at the other side of the coin for Geelong, well, he's a favourite in the Triple M footy family, Billy Brownless, joining us a little bit later on. But as I look around the room, gentlemen, very exciting times up here in Queensland. Jack Fulham, a big welcome to you. But first, Will Rolston down in Melbourne in crystal clear audio for the first time as well on Northern Exposure. Will, your Lions are just one game away from the big dance. How are you feeling, mate?
Oh, as it gets closer and closer, I'm getting very nervous. But I got to say, I'm feeling less worried about it. I don't know why. I just feel like there is a buzz about the Lions. Obviously, I'm not up in the city where I can feel it firsthand. But everything we're doing looks like the makings of how a premiership team usually rolls through the finals. All the stories coming out of Brisbane are really positive at the moment. So I'm a very happy Lions supporter.
Now, Will, you will be playing the Cats on Saturday night. Weren't successful against the Cats last. They knocked you over in Sydney in round seven by, I think, 37, 38 points. It was
The third quarter's a blowout.
Yeah, yep. Was it 8-1 in
something
the,
like
in the
that?
Third
it, was quarter. It was ridiculous.
Real it was shambolic effort.
From memory, it was a 40 to 50 point run they went on.
Yep.
Sort of like NBA style, where we just didn't touch the footy. It was incredible. It's probably the worst we've looked this year.
And we know Harris Andrews is back. He's in top form. But Tom Hawkins is also in a really rich run of vein. And the way that the Cats have been so good is just isolating Hawkins one-on-one against key defenders. Yep. And, you know, Hawkins just ragdolls him. Do you think that, you know, Harris can stand up to him and match him in body strength?
Yeah, it's funny because the two opponents that Harris tends to struggle with, he doesn't struggle against pretty much anyone else, but Tom Lynch and Tom Hawkins, because he doesn't do well in those one-on-one battles of strength necessarily. And we saw when Lester was taking Riewoldt, he would just keep him to ground and Harris would just fly over the top, the luxury of not having Lynch play in that Richmond game. So I don't know. We don't want Tom Hawkins to be isolated, but I think there is no one better to be isolated with him than Harris. So if Hawkins kicks two or three goals, I think that's a win for the Lions.
The issue for me is going to come from the midfield. The big bodies of Dangerfield, Ablett, Selwood, they just rip the Lions' mids apart. They just brutalise them through the centre. Bigasava was jumping everywhere at the time. Yep. And the Lions just didn't have a match. And of course, they'll come prepared for that without a doubt. But at the same time, the nostalgia is going to come in too, because let's face it, Ablett, this could be his last game. You know Geelong are going to turn it on.
The other thing is the ruck battle. It's going to be Rhys Stanley and maybe Asava if Geelong decide to bring him back against Steph and Big Oscar, who are in a rich vein of form. So definitely that ruck battle is crucial to the Lions getting first use in the midfield.
Yeah, and Oscar McInerney, with the absence of Steph Martin since July, I think it was about round seven or so that he missed with that back fracture, I think it was, he has just taken the role with two hands. And I don't know if there has been many better ruckmen in the AFL over the last 8 weeks than Oscar McInerney. And then Steph came back. It wasn't his best game against Richmond, but he certainly played a role. So I think in terms of two ruckmen that are currently in the finals, I think Brisbane have the upper hand over any side. It's going to be fascinating. We need our play to at least break even with that Geelong lineup. And I think we're a really big chance.
Now, I don't want to look too far ahead into the future because that is fraught with danger. But say you win on Saturday night, who do you want to play in a grand final, Port or Richmond?
It's got to be Port. We've beaten Port this year at the Gabba, obviously. We've beaten Richmond as well. But like I said last week, I think Richmond have my only worry. I think I can see Port knocking over Richmond in Adelaide because they've already done that as well.
Oh, I'd agree, yeah.
And they're flying. They've got momentum. I don't know. What do you guys reckon? It's a toss of a coin, but I think Richmond are the team that can step up.
I think they're the team, I think we said last week, they're the team most capable of doing it the long way.
Yep.
But you're right, Port in Adelaide would just be the spanner in the works. But yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm saying this from the perspective of someone who doesn't mind watching Richmond lose. I like to think that we've seen a small little chink in their armour from a couple of weeks ago. Mm. No, the bit of they haven't had the best sort of media-friendly year this year in the eyes of the general public. So I don't mind seeing their decline. That's just speaking as a supporter of another club.
Absolutely not.
If it was to be a Port and Brisbane grand final, it would be the best reflection on the sort of circular nature of the AFL food chain.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Brisbane and Port, 2004, they were both like the powerhouse teams of that era.
Yeah.
They've gone pretty much to the point of extinction, both of them. Like Port were, you know, pretty much cooked before they went to the Adelaide Oval.
Tarps 2011.
Brisbane,
yeah, when they lost to the Bye. That video on YouTube. That was so good.
Yeah, Brisbane couldn't get any players to stay in Brisbane.
Yeah.
All the Lepich years where it was just a basket case.
Yeah.
And now both teams back on the upswing. It's beautiful for AFL football.
It's great. Yeah, the regeneration. Port Adelaide had a decent run of form in the early 2010s. But yeah, like you said, they have the makings of being a very good club for a long time. It's sort of been building. And I'm glad that they got to put it all together this year, particularly got to play a few home games, which was big for them as well.
Well, it's going to be massive at the Gabba. And the Gabba, of course, sitting there in Woolloongabba, Will, as you'd know from your time living up here, cranes constantly in the city of Brisbane.
No, it's where the we're broadcasting.
It is a building city. But you'll never not see a crane in Brisbane. And the Lions, I really like this as a sort of clever part of marketing. They decided to do a name a crane contest on.
Love this.
And a few, you know, naturally pretty run-of-the-mill puns got thrown out there, but one man in this room decided to have a crack at the contest, and without naming names, would you like to volunteer yourself for what you did?
Yes.
Yeah, Jack, of course.
It's obviously my favourite. I thought it'd be you, Will.
I thought it'd be you, honestly. But
I thought it would be me too. Somehow I missed this contest. It didn't come across my desk, because I would have been naming cranes left, right, and centre.
I saw it on my Facebook feed, and I've gone, you beauty. And one of my favourite Brisbane Lions, the big bloke who made his debut this year, he's been on the list for a few years, Jack Payne, whose name rhymes with crane. Oh, this is just a dunker. Here we go.
Just as a quick setup, because we need to explain. So Multiplex, they're building the Queen's Wharf, and there's 10 cranes that Lions fans are able to name, and they can hang a banner off them, and they have the name of the crane on it. So Payne Crane was your entry for the competition.
Just rolled up with the Payne Crane and clicked the link and gone online and gone, you beauty. A couple of days later, I get an email from the Brisbane Lions marketing department going, hi, Jack, thanks so much for your entry. We really love it and we'd love for you to win. Unfortunately, this competition was only open to people 14 years and younger.
And you appear to have entered it from an email address from a professional radio station.
And the lady at the Lions, who I won't reveal her name, but she was lovely, but she's put at the end, were you perhaps entering for someone who is underage? I'm like, I've replied going, oh, absolutely. And I've had to ask our executive producer on the Triple M Breakfast Show. It's like, hey, Snowy, what's the name of your daughter? Oh, yeah, so great. How old is she? Oh, brilliant. Well, congratulations. She's just named the crane.
I mean, it's a real early win on the board, but there'll always be an asterisk over that.
But,
absolutely. It kind of reminds me of, you guys are Simpsons fans?
Yes.
It reminds me of when Frank Grimes enters Homer into that.
That's exactly what it was.
This is a contest for children.
Hey, shut up. Let him have his prize. Way to go, Homer.
And Homer beat their guts out.
One lesson I will never learn out of this is to always read the T's and C's.
Hey, speaking of, I guess, just serious nuffy behaviour, we put together a State of Origin side for the State of Queensland last week with, let's be honest, some relatively loose criteria, and didn't the Triple M footy public just love that online?
They came for us.
They did. They came for us. We've copped our whack. So soften the blow. We've brought someone in, New South Wales Chairman of Selectors Liam Flanagan from Giant Swantown and the New South Wales call team. He's going to join us just after this because he's responded with a New South Wales State of Origin side. And, well, boys, just I hope his criteria was a little bit better than ours.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Everything Queensland footy.
We've copped a little bit of feedback on social media for our Queensland State of Origin team. Gentlemen, the feedback came thick and thin, and it's really whacked us over the head. Well, where did we go wrong?
Well, I think the selection criteria was, for starters, a little lax.
A little bit. That was the issue. Absolutely. Because we basically just picked Queensland, you count. But if you were born somewhere else and then moved to Queensland, you also count. So we took pretty much anyone. I think now that, you know, Dustin Martin spent 100 days in Queensland, we can
whack
him in the middle.
Look, we've kind of moved on from that. But naturally, as Queensland, we have to throw down the gauntlet to New South Wales. And representing the Blues will be Liam Flanagan, Giant Swantown on Triple M Footy. And Flanners, I think you've seen our team, you've seen our criteria, and you've come back with a team of your own, which I think you've done a better job on.
How are you, gents? Look, firstly, before I get to my team, I should apologise for some of the things I said to my burner account. but you know, I was passionate, and look, in the spirit of this complex state of origin world in which we live, I'm actually a South Australian who's now spent more years in New South Wales. So technically, I feel like I qualify to pick this team on behalf of New South Wales. Yeah, look, Nick, you gave me the challenge, and I set the criteria for the team of this. They have to have been born in New South Wales, and I have to have seen them play live, whether that's on TV or in person. Because, look, I have no doubt Hayden Bunton was a superstar footballer. He won 3 Brownlows.
Yes.
But I can't testify to how he might go when matched up one-on-one against Dane Zorka. I just can't tell you.
How would he look on 16:9 resolution on a widescreen? Exactly. We'll never know.
Zorko exactly. Might have him pit for height.
Who knows? Ugh. We might be picking apart the fact that he's still drop-kicking it. Hayden Bunton, apologies. Not the sentence I thought I'd say.
I think he'll be okay with it.
We'll pass it on to his family.
Look, and if we are we matching? Are we putting this New South Wales team head to head with the controversial Queensland team you picked?
Well, what we'll do is we'll hear out your side, backline all the way through to the interchange. I think we know where ours sits, and we'll find a couple of key matchups and just see who wins in these categories. But hit us with your backline, Flanners.
Well, I'll start with the backline, and I'll say straight off the bat, this is my area of concern, given the forward line I've seen you blokes have got.
Solid.
Callum Mills in a back pocket, Leo Barry, Dane Rampey, very swan heavy this back line. Yeah. Jared McVeigh off a half back, Sam Gilbert, and I know you.
Oh, hang on! What a matchup!
Sam Gilbert.
We talked about this last week about how Sammy Gilbert played his junior footy at Tweed Coolangatta. Now that club officially, that ground officially sits on the Queensland New South Wales border. The southern end of the ground and the car park is in New South Wales. The rest of it's all in Queensland. So,
gentlemen, where was Sam Gilbert born? I ask you that question.
I don't know.
He was born in New South Wales. He played his senior football in Victoria. How you blokes are putting a claim to Sam Gilbert is beyond me.
We're currently reaching out for his birth certificate. So,
Flanders, where was Greg Inglis born?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a joke actually, as well. Actually,
yeah. Don't make his points for him, Will.
Great to have you on board.
You can see I never did debating.
So Sammy Gilbert will be lining up at centre-half back for the New South Wales side.
Very good.
And then this one, my final defender was picked as a bit of a more in hope of trying to combat some of the height you blokes have got in your forward line.
I see. Because, New South Wales.
Yeah, there you go. So Dougal Howard gets it. I think his form for St Kilda this year has been outstanding. But
great. He can play on Dunstall.
Look, straight to the wing, and this is where the class starts to shine through. The centre line, Lenny Hayes, Paul Kelly, Isaac Smith from the Hawks. The forward six, Taylor Walker, Wayne Carey, Terry Danaher.
Oh, boy.
John Longmire, Tom Hawkins, Luke Bruce.
Yep.
And then our ruck, we got the big man, Jared Witts.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, Witty. We love Witty here.
A big fan of Witty up here.
I'll tell you what, there is very little ruck talent that's come out of New South Wales.
Tell me you boys saw the photo of Jared Witts on the beach in Cairns holding up the Premiership Cup. It was like that image of Matthew Pavlich back in the day looking at the cup going, I'm never going to get my hands on this.
Yeah.
I didn't see Witsy, but look, I disappeared down a rabbit hole for a moment. I think Witsy's been one of the great unsung stories of the AFL. Oh. I mean...
This is almost the Jared Witts podcast, Flanners. We're big fans of Witsy. You don't need to drum up support for Witsy.
Do you blokes have an official award? I mean, on Giant Swantown, we have the Lamb Mumford Medallion named in honour of Shane Mumford and Jed Lamb. Have you blokes got an award on Northern Exposure?
From next year, it's just going to be the Witts Trophy.
The Whit Trophy.
This is even further down the rabbit hole, but
that's what we do on this podcast.
My match worn Zach Smith jersey just arrived in the post during the week too. So
Zach Smith.
Yeah. $80 from the Sun store. It's actually cheaper than buying a brand new jersey.
It's amazing how much value you can lose by just taking away one letter. Like if that was Isaac Smith, taking away the I, you lose a lot of value there. Right, so Witz is my ruckman. I've got Crawf and Brett Kirk as my own ballers.
Very good.
And then my bench is Kieran Jack, Isaac Heaney, Daniel Cross, and Bill Brownless.
Oh, Bill made it.
Yeah, Bill had to make it.
Great Neil Danaher.
Oh, very nice. Nice touch there at the end. Well,
From my perspective, I think the midfields are very evenly matched. A lot of class there. But then based on how our back lines line up, I reckon this is 300 to 250. I think it's going to be an absolute goal fest.
Yep. Human turnstile. Not much defence is going to be played in this game.
No. We've currently got Marcus Ashcroft playing on Terry Danaher. So we're in strife.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's just only going to be who's going to kick the highest score. Then I just realised that's exactly how every AFL game has gone in history, so not that's the greatest metric. But what I'll do is I'll throw it open to the wonderful fans on all the Triple M footy socials that haven't been too kind to us in the last week. But we'll put it out to them and we'll see who they decide is the winner of the 2020 State of Origin Battle of Loosely Selected Criteria. Liam Flanagan from Giant Swan Town and, of course, the Triple...
Before you let me go, I can't let you go without me having one last pot shot. Nick Riewoldt is Tasmanian.
He is not.
Southport.
Tasmanian.
He's from Southport. I'm sure.
Where was he drafted from?
That's not the... I'll tell you what, I'm going to go and set up three fresh burner accounts. This bloke has got some vitriol coming your way, I'll tell you that.
See,
much.
Look, Flanners, if you define origin, it's the point or place where something begins, arrives, or is from.
He's gone the dictionary.
Once again.
I've
done it again.
And, massive offset. Northern Exposure's just traded Will Ralston to Giant Swan Town.
Yeah, and you'll get Jesse White back in return.
Actually, guys,
I'll cop that.
In the new year, we'll wait for this feud to settle down, and in the new year, let's select an allies team.
There we go. This is why the allies exist, because we can't keep having these arguments.
Yeah,
we'll combine.
There is it. New South Wales Chairman of Selectors, Liam Flanagan. Thanks so much for joining us, mate.
It's everything Queensland footy. This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Very, very honoured to be joined on the line now. Man needs no introduction, but he holds a special place in the heart of Queenslanders and in the Triple M Footy family. Billy Brownless, welcome to Northern Exposure.
Oh, great to be with you, boys. And how is it up there? You can have a beer and have a palmy and get out and have a coffee where we're all locked down here in the Ring of Steel.
It's sad today, Bill. There's a couple of clouds about.
Oh, wow. What a shame. Don't worry. There's clouds there. It's been darkness for about the last 6 months.
Okay, so not too much to complain up here. And essentially what is just a warmer version of Geelong at the moment. Bill, you'd be loving it down there just past the Ring of Steel, about the little river crossing, is it? So there's just no foreigners getting in. Just get your own little slice of paradise. That's what we've been enjoying up here, mate. And you must be loving it.
Actually, believe it or not, I've got a couple of pubs in Geelong and it has been nice with restrictions, but still at least we can open and at least we can have a palmy and we can have a beer off the tap and things like that. Whereas I went up to Melbourne on Friday just to go to the Botanical Hotel because one of my favourites and I used to have a bit of fun there and geez, all I could get was a takeaway coffee. So I just thought, but here in Geelong, I went to a beer garden last Saturday night. There was 50 of us out there and we're drinking, carrying on. And, of course, what's the Cats wins? How good's that?
Yeah, you would have enjoyed that one, Bill. So the Cats, obviously, your beloved team, they're into a prelim. The last time they played at the Gabba, it was against the Lions, I should say, was the final round of last season. And it was a classic. It ended with Lincoln McCartan taking a big hanger. The Cats dismantled the Lions at the SCG earlier this year. What do you think is going to happen this Saturday night in the prelim?
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it, mate? Because the Cats have won, I think they've only played at the Gabba four times, won by about 50 points. The Lions have played there 10 times. They've won every game there. The Cats have got the wood on the Lions, won 9 out of the last 10. So you add all that up, and it means nothing, let me tell you, in the ball. Anything can happen, as we've seen. The Cats were flying during the year, and then when they played Richmond, the heat and the pressure got to them a bit, I reckon, and they struggled for the next couple of weeks, but they found form again last week. There's no doubt about that, and I really like the way they're going now. They're on fire. They can do what they want with Danger. They can throw him forward. They can put him in the middle, and when you've got I knew we were on last week when Reece Stanley kicks a goal from the boundary line. Gary Rowan's running around taking marks and kicking goals, and you got Danger kicking two banana goals. We were always going to win that. We were on. So they're full of confidence, and I'm liking them on Saturday night.
Yeah, not that they need it, Bill, but being the goals in a game record holder at the Gabba, do you have any special how to perform on the hallowed turf?
Well, I spoke to Tomahawk last week. I gave him the rest for a couple of weeks, and I said, now, Tom, you're not dropping it right, and you're not following through and things like that. And, well, you wouldn't believe it how well he kicked last week. So, no tips, of course. I still can't believe that's a record at the Gabba, to be honest. I kicked that a long, long time ago.
Now, who did you kick the majority of the goals on? Was it Richard Champion?
One of them. There was about four, I reckon. They all had a bit of a crack because it wasn't one of their greatest teams, obviously. It was back in the Bears days. So, but I just had a day out. Ablett didn't play that game. I was actually playing full forward, centre forward on a small ground because the dog track was still there.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, just had one of those days. The blokes that have gone through, you know, Alistair Lynch and even Fez and Fev and John O'Brien and that, you would have thought someone would have beaten it up there at the Gabba, but it's good to have that record. It's very nice.
Yeah, Bill, it's great. It's one of the funnier records that still exists in footy because, like you said, there's a lot of handy forwards that have played there since then. The other thing I wanted to ask was about 1994, of course, placing the hearts of Geelong supporters in finals. Having kicked a goal after the siren in your win against Footscray. And what can you tell us about that day, Billy?
Well, I have forgotten it, but I'll tell you what, you know what's been good this year with ISO? It's shown a lot of replays on you know? So you might be sitting there and these games come up and you go, oh, hang on, I'll have a look at this. And then an hour later, you're still watching them, you know? So, no, that was, again, a long time ago, but it was a great day because sometimes, you know, you wake up and think, shit, what would have happened if I missed that? You know, what would have happened? I would have got probably dropped and never played again and things like that. So, you know, it was just one of those days where I'd had a poor day, hadn't got near it, led out, used my great pace and got in front of Danny Southern and took this mark from about 65 out, you know, and just went back. And Victoria's telling me things about my mother that I never knew my mother could do. And banged it in from 75. And it actually went 25 metres through the goal. So it actually went 100 metres, but not many picked that up.
I reckon that's the first time you ran through that story too. Second nature now.
I haven't told any of those stories. So a bit rusty on up on them.
Now, Bill, I'm not sure if you've seen it on the news in the last couple of days, but the MCG...
Dan Andrews or Gladys?
No, it's the MCG ripping up a piece of their hallowed turf and sending it on a truck 1,800 k's north to be implanted into the Gabba. What are your thoughts on that, mate? Because just about everyone in Queensland thinks it is the most ridiculous thing you could possibly do.
I know, but it's the hallowed turf for the MCG. You need that. So I think it's fantastic. I just can't wait till Lincoln McCarthy runs into open goal and trips over the turf.
Oh, Bill.
Trips over the turf and misses and the Cats win. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. He'll probably do a hammy given the last time he played on the MCG.
I was going to say, you absolute savage, Bill. we've got him so good up here.
It is strange, isn't it? To rip some turf up from the G and travel it up on a refrigerated truck and get up there. But anyway, it's just, well, if we got bloody, what, Mike Brady singing songs, we may as well have the turf from the MCG.
Finally, Billy, any bookings at the Cremorne for Saturday to watch the prelim? You reckon we can sneak
any
in?
Any bookings? Wow, the phone just rings off. I had to get outside because everyone, they ring now, funny enough, and they want to book in for Saturday for Caulfield Cup and then want to stay for the footy Saturday night. So, geez, wow, weird. It's going to be a big day.
Love it.
Oh, Bill, you're going to be rolling security that day. Well, the day it was, round 4, 1991, where Billy Brownless kicked 11 goals at the Gabba to set the record that he still holds today. Unbelievable. And our guest today, Bill, thanks so much for joining us, mate.
Thank you, boys. Great being on Northern Exposure.
Well, that's it, gentlemen. When we hit the record button next week, we'll know if the Lions are into a grand final and probably, I don't even know, a medalist on our hands. Will, just quickly, Lachie Neal's got it wrapped up.
Oh, what is he, $1.20? Oh, it's so home. The AFL website's predicting it might be a bit of a tighter affair than we're expecting, but even if it's four votes, I think he'll comfortably win. He just played too many best on grounds.
Oh, I think Jared Witz is not getting the...
Well, hey, Jared Witz, just going, just going off the... He's invited to the Brownlow, I'll just have you know. Gold Coast Suns invited.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So I'm pretty sure captains are automatically on that list. I don't want to downplay his chances.
Jaron Geary's invited too.
Hey, look, get on the train here, Will. Get on the train. That's Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Will Rolson, Jack Fulham, Nick Davis is my name. We'll see you next week.
Go Lions.
Go Lions.